Welcome to the AI and Data-Driven Leadership Podcast, the show where we spotlight the innovators and leaders who are transforming the future using the power of data and AI. I'm your host, Dean Gaeta, author, podcaster, and founder and CEO of Infogistics and Slingshot. We're living in an exciting era, a time where builders, leaders, and entrepreneurs are using data and AI to fuel unprecedented growth, create groundbreaking products, and drive meaningful transformations in their industry. If you're ready to learn from some of the brightest minds and uncover actionable insight to take your business to the next level, you're in the right place. And if you have a story to share, stick around until the end of the show. We'll tell you how you can become our next guest and inspire leaders around the globe. Welcome to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. Let's dive in. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I have Rupali Kambani with us, and she's been a lot of interesting journey that she's had with strategy and C-level execs. And I'm kind of interested to dig deep into her journey and things she's learned along the way. But Rupali, why don't you introduce yourself, and then we'll kind of kick it off.
So hi, Dean. Thank you for having me. And hello, everyone. I'm Rupali Kambani. I'm an executive leader who drives digital global strategic transformation. I'm a visionary strategist and executor who turns complex idea into real measurable outcomes. So my work actually sits at the intersection of strategy, technology, and people. I partner and advise C-suite leaders to shape the vision and build the roadmap, leveraging my expertise in emerging technologies such as AI, data, and cloud. And once the vision is created, then I build a cross-functional team and then lead them to deliver operational efficiency and revenue growth. I've driven transformation across multiple industries in a billions revenue, such as healthcare tech, fintech, and real estate tech. Lately, I've been helping organizations to use AI strategically in ways that drive ROI while keeping people at the center.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing. Yeah, you've had a very global interdisciplined career, like from physics to computer science and business. And like, I'm interested, like, what motivated you to pivot to be a technology leader? And then how do you think like your early academic background influences your approach to AI data strategy today?
Great question. So in physics, when I was in the final stages of my bachelor's degree, I was working heavily on electronics. So I've built my 8085 processor and programmed it. And so I've done that. And that feel like, okay, this is interesting. What I can do further into it. I had a professor in mathematics, and she said, okay, looking at your interest and your inclination in mathematics also, so why don't you start or do the master's in computer science? Until she has mentioned, I was not aware of there is a master in computer science available. My theory was it's always going to be an engineering side. And there is something where my science background on physics and mathematics, I can leverage to learn computer. That sounds like a real great opportunity. So I set for the exam, and I cleared the exams with a great score, and I've been selected for the Master's of Computer Science. So there are only 10 students are accepted in this program in my area, and I was one of them. So I felt so privileged to be part of that. So somebody who did not have much background in it, I quickly learned Fortran, Basic, Pascal, all the languages to study in computer science. And more I studied into it, I felt like, yeah, this is a great area. This is something I can grow into it. And it's over evolving. So it's everything is going to be different, which I enjoy. For me, as you have seen it, my career spans across multiple industries.
Yeah.
And to do that successfully is my ability to adapt quickly. And I love that complexity. I love those challenges and I thrive in that. So I think so that was a fit for me.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it's kind of interesting how a lot of these researchers in these frontier labs came from physics, but I think it's just that analytical thought process that helps a lot. But yeah, that's amazing. So can I ask you like a question? Like, okay, you talk a lot about like with clarity and empathy, align people, priorities, and purpose for transformation. Like, can you like kind of unpack all that like in practice? How does that like driving large scale AI or data initiatives, how do you unpack all that, you know, relative to doing AI or big data initiatives?
Sure. So this is my belief. I believe that data gives you clarity. AI gives you acceleration, but people gives the meaning to the transformation. So I can explain based on the real example. I've been driving a lot of organization to adopt into AI. And the biggest challenge I've been seeing is fear among the people, the employees, and among the leaders. Mm-hmm. And the way I've tackled it is leveraging this data and convert the fear into opportunity by creating a governance and a training model. So let me unpack all the subjects you were asking me about. So employees fear and resist towards AI because they believe that AI is going to take their jobs. I don't want to learn more about it. Leaders believe that people are going to be using AI in a way that expose their data and create an ethical issues that will create a data security issues and all sort of different issues they feel about it. And also creates an unrealistic expectation that company is open to buy everything. So, and which every organization is not funded by $1 million. So they have to use the funding wisely. So when that issue came, that what is this adoption fear looks like, looking at this data, I tackle it in a two form. First suggestion was to create a governance committee, which is composed of diverse cross-functional members to channel this innovation responsibility. So design a process where employee could submit an AI use case, outlining projected ROI, risk, and alignment with company objectives. So each proposal is this reviewed by this committee, which reduces any redundancy, which improves the efficiency and budget. In parallel, I also launched the AI training program, and which helps so people to see a real life example. So they are getting this real data saying how AI actually using can help them improve the productivity of the work they are doing it. So it's not that they're going outside and having the information from multiple channels, which provides the use cases, which is not efficient for them and creates and more of fear. So combining this clarity, combining the data available and guiding people to the right use cases help to shift the organizational mindsets from fear to opportunity and to accountability. So I mean that this is how one can leverage data and use the AI as an acceleration and keeping people at the center.
Yeah, I mean, I like how you talk about acceleration with AI and yeah, these challenges are everywhere, what you just mentioned. I mean, people are really worried. I mean, a lot of it's just overhyped by big tech and worried about replacing jobs. And all of us that are working with AI, like, yeah, we're not even close to that. But yeah, data, and then what you say about execs, yeah, they're worried about data and data security. And then, yeah, your data, if you're using it to drive AI results, can sometimes make it not have the result that represents your brand. So yeah, totally agree. And so like, what have you learned, like trying to align these executive vision with like this whole technical execution around AI and data? Like how do you overcome some of these things? I mean, you talked a little about governance and a way to like propose ROI problems, but it's still hard. Like it's easy to say things, but it's like really hard to bring teams and companies along. Like what have you learned? Really, what kind of lessons can we learn from your experience?
So a couple of lessons which I have learned is, first one is innovation only happens in a risk-taking environment where failure is a learning opportunity. It's not a roadblock. So across my different roles throughout my career, the most transformative outcomes came from encouraging team to experiment, learn fast, and challenge the assumption. I work with so many leaders who want to be innovative or forward-thinking leader, but have a very low risk tolerance. And that's not something would be helpful if you want to be an innovative company. Because an innovation is the work which has not been done in the past and you're trying to implement in your organization. That means it comes with a lot of failure. And when you have an environment where you encourage team members to take a calculated risk, and that risk, if there is a failure, we take it as a learning opportunity. I do understand that we all work for revenue growth. You wanted to see this ROI into every investment you do. And calculated risks are there. But if we do not let our team to fail, then there is no growth as possible. Biggest, I would say, is my learning. And when I talk with leaders, that's my first take away with them or having a conversation with them to understand what is your risk tolerance look like.
Yeah, I'm sure the product teams or the teams doing the work are like so happy for you to help make management execs understand that, because it's like, yeah, like we're like, I run a software company, and so it's kind of ingrained, you know, drive business outcomes through, you know, hypothesis, experimenting, learn from those experiments, but always intentionally trying to drive growth or build something, solve some problem. But yeah, when you go into the business world, you're right. Like those product teams are so happy probably that you have to like teach these execs to like, okay, don't like hurt someone if they failed, you know, you've got to give them some room. So anyways, I'm just appreciating it. You know, people that are listening need to hear that. It's because it takes experimentation.
Absolutely. And I, having experience working in a both side of the world, having the knowledge of the both business and technology, I can talk to the both the team. So I understand where my technology team is coming from and what they wanted to have the environment. Simultaneously, I do understand the business side of it, because all of us want to have that revenue growth. That drives us, that drives the company growth, in terms of drives people growth. So I do understand, but it has to be a balanced approach, a calculated risk with return on investment, but with an opportunity to be a failure. If there is an environment where your employees or a team starts feeling that one mistake will cause him or her the job, then that's not going to be a risk-taking environment or an innovative environment, especially in this AI-driven environment where you want people to use AI. They want to grow with the AI, and we are very early stage of AI where every day new things is coming. So if they are working in an environment which is constantly looking to punish rather than empower, then that would not help you to grow or innovate.
Oh, that's hard. How do you balance like innovation, speed, responsibility, you know, even ethics with AI? Like, do you have guardrails that you talk about or recommend to leaders?
Specifically to AI and technology-driven innovations, my go-to skills is adaptability and agility. So yes, I am working on a long-term vision with the organization. So when we are creating a roadmap, I am partnering with C-suite, building that roadmap. The roadmap is long-term growth. We wanted to see X percentage of increase in revenue growth. I wanted to see employee satisfaction increased by this person. I want to see my customer satisfaction improvement by 30%. But with that keeping in mind as a long-term growth, in AI and the way the AI is moving, a lot of time short-term gain is put it in place. I also do a lot of MVP. So for example, one of my organization, I was driving a global collaboration initiative. So our organization was growing so quickly that my global CEO felt like we are working as individual silos rather than one unit. So he wants to create all of us as a one single unit. And when he presented this idea and a vision of a global team or a global collaboration, my first question was to partner with him and his stake or his co-creators like C-suite, CEO, CIO, CTO from different region to understand what exactly it means in terms of goal setting. So talking with them, I created the list of the achievement we have to do to be as a global collaborative company. And then I built a team of technologies and analysts to drive this and convert it into a strategic plan. How we can achieve it, what is the risk is, what is the cost behind it, and how long it will take to deliver. So partnering with vendor, partnering with my technology leaders, I proposed a solution and given a visibility to leadership saying which would be a right direction to go into, what my recommendation is, and getting the approval from them to say, hey, let's go with the plan A, which is short-term gain, but which will help us to achieve a long-term gain, which is less riskier, less cost from us, would not give everything which my CEO wanted. Something he wasn't mostly desiring was not achievable with this solution. But I said, we are able to achieve 60% with the less cost, with the less impact to our business, because we are supporting different portfolio companies. So the impact is much lesser with the solution. That convinced him to give up on his most beloved solution or most beloved environment. And I said, in a long path, I'm not keep giving up on it. my priorities is to give that 60%, but also to give you 40% in the rest of the time, because I know by that time Microsoft will evolve, the infrastructure is going to improve, and we can achieve what you want to achieve. So this is one of the example I can get the approval of C-suites by giving them data-driven insights, saying, hey, this is what data tells me.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, a lot of times you can have ambitious vision and goals, but if they're not realistic, then no one's happy. It's the worst having meetings when you're like 40% below your expectation. And like, how long did you propose to have that first win? Was it a month, a quarter?
This was the enterprise transformation. So my solution was for that would the solution would be driving for 6 months to give him 60% of requirement. And the way I would show the results was to create an MVP, which is I highly recommend everybody who is doing a big enterprise transformation, especially in an AI environment where things are changing so quickly, having an MVP would showcase leaders' results, which help to gain the trust from them. That's what I
Yeah.
said when I did, and I delivered my MVP in a 1 month time and showing them that this is what it looks like. This is what the results is. I have incorporated a channel where I can consider to take the feedback from people who are participating in this small group environment and get those results included into that. So MVP was another great suggestion to get support from any of your leaders.
Yeah, that's really good advice because you want that rapid feedback and you need to show wins and you need to get confidence and not just for the execs but the whole team too. And then yeah, that was kind of really good practical thinking where the evolution of change or new technology entering the market that they can start incorporating that instead of like going all in one area and spending a lot of time and money when new solutions can maybe solve some of those problems. Yeah, I mean people like one thing I just want to highlight what you do, which is really good, is like you have to have courage. Like, you have to have courage to reset what's real so that everyone can win, but still deliver the desire of the execs. I mean, that's just a big lesson for any executive. And then it makes everyone so happy and appreciative because you're having success instead of just like getting beat up because you couldn't realize something in a time frame or cost too much money. And I know the practical thing is MVP, get feedback. But I just wanted to highlight what you've done and it's so important, like that courage.
I absolutely, it's from the trend which we have talked about. You said I did my physics and then moved into technology, which I did not have much background into. Then going into different industry and then driving the transformation successfully. All this is showcase what I've been telling you and my team is to we take a risk because that's
Yeah.
how we grow. All of us learn through taking the risk and going through failures and learning from it. What I do not like is to repeating the same mistakes. That's not where the growth happens. And when you showcase that, I feel like that gives the energy to my team and that gives the energy to my leadership saying, hey, I have done this. I've done this
Yeah.
in a different industry, in a different environment where resources are limited, where there is a high complex challenges. There are time where I've delivered a transformation in 10 days. Within a
Wow.
$1 million fine at my stake, and I have to do this within a 10 days in a very limited resourcing environment, and I have achieved this in 8 days. So doing this is all taking a risk, learning, and growing with the people. Is that the collaboration with the different team is super helpful.
Yeah, and it's so important when there's so much change and uncertainty that you do kind of like, okay, you're keeping your vision and your purpose and your ROI in sight, but when you get out there in the field doing the work, getting feedback, that's the best way to navigate uncertainty and rapid change because then you learn faster and you're making adjustments. And so, yeah, that's some really good advice. That comes with both, good thinking and experience, you know? So,
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's the reason adaptability and agility
yeah.
is super helpful because you should be open to pivot yourself. The other lesson I will share is focus on solution. When you are driving any transformation, especially in my area where I'm doing global enterprise transformation, there are so many uncertainties. It's not only limited to technology, with people, with the environment, with government, with politically, everything is changing so quickly. My focus is every time this uncertainty arises, when there is a problem arises, I focus on solution. Yes, I wanted to do root cause analysis. I want to see where the problem has started with, but rather than focusing on the problem, I focus on the solution. How I can quickly adapt to the new challenge has came on myself and how I can quickly move. So the global collaboration example I was telling you, when I was doing MVP, one of my CEO from Asia has lost access to all his data.
Oh
Lucky
no.
for me, he was here in Chicago with the executive leadership meeting. So he quickly reached out to me and saying, "Hey, Rubali, I've lost my access to all the data. I do need to have access, but right now in an all-day conference, so this is my situation looks like." My first priority was to tell him, "My team is working on it. I'll give you update every hour because the complexity and what is involved." So communication is a skill.
Yeah.
My direction to my team was, "Hey, I don't want to work on where the problem started. I want the solution as quickly as possible." So
Yeah.
before the end of the day, he got an access to his data. So I've given him an update. We are working on it. By end of the day, he had access to his data. Next step to him was, and to all the stakeholders, the leadership team was, "I'm working on it, on the root cause analysis. Now you have a solution. Now he has access to his data. Let's look at what happened." So my parent company actually started working on similar project, which we were working on. And they did not inform us that they are implementing the global collaboration or kind of a collaboration infrastructure changes on their end, which lead to this problem. Looking at that, I set up a meeting with my parent company and say, "Hey, we are doing this. This is what our timeline looks like. Our MVP just finished. Let me know what's your timeline is, what resources you've been using, how we can partner together." So
Yeah, awesome.
that's the attitude. Working on solution and then look into a root cause analysis. That's where I gain the trust of my CEO. I have a trust of my team members that Rupali is not leading a team with the wrong mindset to point a finger, but work together. Problem
Yeah.
happens, but we have to work on solution together.
So important. Like that's good operational advice, but the bigger advice is just you're creating a culture of problem solving instead of blaming, and which is so important. Like when you feel safe and you just want to solve the problem and it's not about the people or what, just like let's just keep like figuring things out. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, good job. That's good.
Yeah.
So what emerging tech like are you really excited about? Like with AI or in data trends? Like there's so much happening. And there's so much hype. So what are your thoughts around that?
For me, AI and generative AI and also machine learning AI, both of them are exciting. I am looking into agentic AI is going to be a great move forward for every organization. There is a lot of noise, as you have clearly said. There are so many places people are not using AI in a right form. I have conversation with leaders, and the pattern turns out to be AI is the strategy, which is so wrong. That AI is not a magic tool which will fix your broken process or a broken vision.
Well, a lot of people have that, by the way,
Yes.
but go ahead. Like, it's not uncommon. I
It's
mean,
not uncommon. That's what I'm saying. So it's technology tools. It's a great tool to be used, but it's over evolving. So you can't make it that, yes, I'm going to be use AI tomorrow, and make sure that AI is going to be a strategy. So I was just talking with C-suite or a CEO from a financial industry, and he was going for a product launch. And his first question to me is, "Can you advise me what is the marketing tool I can use, which is AI driven to launch this product?" And I was like, that's not the approach you want to move forward with. I able to shift his mindset from AI being the strategy to use and drive your strategy based on data, and then use AI on top of that data to accelerate. So looking and talking with his team and looking at the data, it seems like his previous launches failed because they are not identifying the correct audience. Who are the targeted audience and what they wanted? Looking at that data, they could able to actually pivot their strategy in a direction which helps them to this launch successfully. So that's what I would say is I'm not a person who focus a lot on what AI tool looks like, but use AI strategically. And the biggest component for organization is how data ready you are. Because any AI products, whether you build in-house or whether you're going to be working with offshore companies or outside partners, you need a very nice data. You need an infrastructure first to gather the data correctly. You need the infrastructure to delete the noise out of from reality. And then you need a people to understand how to move with this data and make correct decision leveraging AI. So that's the strategy I'm working with organization, and I'm excited how people are going to be leveraging this in a more advanced level.
Yeah, so important. People think their data is ready to go, and it's so far from the truth.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. It's a lot of heavy lifting to get all the right data sources, clean it up, but once you get there, some incredible magic can happen with AI.
And also, can you scale it? Because the way the AI is moving, you do need infrastructure to scale that data too. And if your infrastructure is just ready to handle 50 customers while your growth is for 10,000 customers, that's not going to be happening. So you have to scale fast. And the more the data you gather, your environment should be ready with that. So it's again that agility, the adaptability. More you are doing it, more you need to adapt with that.
Definitely. So how about, can you share a time where like an AI data initiative didn't go well, and like what went wrong, and then like what'd you learn, and then like how's that shaped how you may have already said this too, how it shaped how you approach future tech-led transformations, but it's always good to hear about us, what went wrong, why, and then what'd you learn?
Yeah, so one of the example which I've already shared with you with that MVP failure, because I get these kind of challenges every time. I've been called upon to rescue somebody else's work too because they are not able to do it. We've talked a lot about strategy, and from the vision, my strength is also lies between vision and execution. So I would love to share example of execution. So one of my with the same organization, as we are growing globally faster, we were creating our own methodology for project management. That methodology would help us to communicate with our billion-dollar stakeholder companies and the clients. So the stakes were really high so that we can all talk in the same information, in the same processes, and you leaders can view the data in a correct form. So when it was building the technology or building the methodology, my colleague was able to do successfully with the help of vendors and VP of engagement and PMO from global regions. But he was getting hiccups into execution. Some teams were advanced and in ahead of a time to implement it, while some were way behind that. That's the time I've been called upon to rescue this execution, to make it as a launching product. And so that all of us can use it together as a one team, which was vision of my organization and my CEO, and also to continuously grow with it. So the first thing which I did, and which is I always use it, is active listening without biases. So you understand where the failures or where my colleague was not able to succeed in, but I set up a time with different regions, VP and engagement PMOs, to understand what is the roadblocks and why we are not moving forward. The pattern comes out as we are trying to make this methodology one size fits all. It has a long, lengthy documentation. They had 70 documentation to fill out for a given initiative, which is not filtered for every environment. Each organization was at a different maturity of a growth. For example, North America was very matured while Asia was still growing. So for them, a criteria to call a project a risky project would be different than what North America would say. So looking and hearing all this perspective, I customized the methodology, reduced the number of processes to be filled out, and how it needs to be filled out. That given everybody a breathing space, and they felt like I can use this, my team can use this, and we can effectively partner. And the other changes is the criteria, how you think that the project would be at a risk. Should be based on the size of the project, should be driven by the team, but needs to be more clear so that leaders know that why this initiative is red, yellow, or green. So that gives a visibility to leaders. The third one was in terms of when we wanted to launch, it should still look like as a one organization, but cover the different region. So I work with my customer's experience leader to create this model or a marketing strategy so that it talks to different region, keeping still a global taste to it, saying we are still one, but what works with US and UK, how they understand and perceive this should be according to their different regions. And that's the time I implemented first AI chatbot. We did not have too much funding left because most of the funding has been spent into the creation of methodology. So I was left with nothing. But with the help of my customer experience team, I was able to build an AI chatbot and introduce it into this product launch saying, hey, how I can leverage AI to select what methodology to be used, what would be a great documentation, and what should my approach look like. So using these different techniques and talking with people, listening to them, and then implementing into an action item, because you have a data. Now you have to convert into an execution strategy. That all combination together, I would say I was able to drive something which was not working to be a successful launch.
Yeah, that's great. So how about like something for the listeners that are like early in their data or AI career, and maybe they want to grow into leadership or drive change in orgs like you have, like what advice do you have for them?
The first and foremost, I would say, is continuous learning. Something which has helped me, having that childlike curious mindset, it's super helpful.
Oh, yeah.
Carve out some time, no matter what stages of career you are. All of us are running in a different stages of our life and in career. But what I do is carve a certain time of a day or a month to learn new technology. For me also, it's super important, but I feel like everybody should be doing that. Take out some time to learn the technology. If you are want to move into new role, as you have said it, or if you wanted to be successful in AI, there are so many great information that's available. Look into the data which is relevant for you. That comes as a prioritization, because that's the next step I will say to everybody. Prioritize what is important to you. If you have a 10 priority as a high priority, then I don't think so. You have something wrong going on. Yeah. Have three priorities. And
yes.
Again, show adaptability into it, because life changes.
Yes.
Nothing is for constant. Evaluate yeah. yourself, and it says if something personal or professional priority has changed, you got into a new role, you are having a big timeline crunch, or your family is growing and you have to take time off, pivot your some of the priorities. But
yeah.
keep only three as a top priority to work on it. And that applies also when I'm saying that continuous learning. When you are looking in AI data, there is a lot of noise available. Make sure that you are looking into a tool or a technology which is relevant for your industry and for specific to your work. This way, you do not feel overwhelmed or overburned.
Yeah, that's some great advice. Yeah, really good advice. Yeah, I like people get too ambitious and then have 10 priorities. And then I like if you really focus, you learn better and more. I like that. But then have some flexibility because things change. You know, I just was repeating your advice. I mean, it's very important advice, not just for career growth, but just for, you know, everything, you know, just to be successful. Yeah, that's awesome. So what question didn't I ask you that you wish I would have asked you?
You've asked really great questions. We have talked and dived into strategy, into executions, some of my career path also. I feel like something might not have covered in all this topic is that human-centric element, the people part of my strategies, or I talk a lot about intersection of people and how to do it. That's something I would say to people is how to implement that. What I mean by having human-centric transformation or people at the core. My philosophy is every transformation I do is for the betterment of human and in collaboration with the human. AI, technology, data, cloud is the enabler. These technology helps me, but at the end, you want to see a customer satisfaction improve. You want to have a revenue growth for human. So keep that at the center of the space. Because in the world of AI, where everything is technology driven, you get tons of data, the data has been analyzed and processed very quickly. The edge everybody would have it is what are your human skills are, your empathy, your emotional intelligence, your ability to listen to human and understand what they are not trying to say. So earlier I talked about active listening without biases. Pay attention to people's body languages and keep all this conversation going. Build relationship because relationship helps you to understand what the other person wants. In my global career, cultural intelligence is super helpful. And I hear this, people say, but you work in global. Not everybody works in a global. That's not completely true. Because even if you're working in a place where you are working with the local teams, even in that, every one of your team members comes from different background. They have a different upbringing. They have a different value system. So the philosophy of that cultural intelligence does not limit if you are driving just a global transformation or a global initiative. It works every level. And that goes back to that human connection. We have an ability to connect and understand each other, where you're coming from, what your values are. And when you are suggesting some decisions or insights, it's coming from your background. And this information, AI would not be able to give it to you, which you can have a leverage over AI, which you can build upon. So that's what I would mean by having human-centric element in every aspect of leadership.
Yeah, I think that's so important what you said, and not just relative to data and AI, but just to life and business. And that's really good advice. And then I think all of us, because tech, we're all running so hard with change and technology, we forget about humans. And everyone thinks that we're running so hard that we're going to eliminate humans. But I mean, I personally, I feel we're going to end up like we're going to be collaborators with AI. AI is part of the team. And so no, and it's about the outcome of humans and not the outcome of technology just because we're technologists. And so yeah, that's like a double edge or double value statement, you know what you said. So yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah.
It needs to be said a lot more because it just needs to
Absolutely.
be said a lot more. So that's all I have to say.
Yeah, that's it's grounded in that fear, right? You're working with people. If you are working out of the fear mindset, that's never going to be helpful.
No.
It's not helpful for you to work in an organization which has a fear mindset. And if you, as a person creating that a fear
Yeah.
mindset, it's not going to be helpful to you either. So it's very important to mention that it's not an elimination. AI not going to be take away everybody's job. Yes, it will take away the jobs which is more process oriented, more administrative stuff. So if you are doing that, try to learn the skills and understand where AI can help you, and you can focus that additional time into more meaningful work. Because that's the important time too. Because when technology and AI is going to give you that additional time and a productivity, how you're using that time is so important. Are you going to waste your time into watching some reels, or are you going to be spending that time mindfully to learn something else, which gives you an edge over your competitors, which gives you an edge over other people, and which you
Yep.
can bring at your human element? So that is because a lot of organizations are now thinking on that higher level. That is the stronger goal, that how I can build my team to think AI is my partner and how I can use that additional productivity to be more productive or additional time to bring more revenue. When you have that mindset, you would be never been eliminated in any organization.
Yep. Totally agree. And there's never a shortage of problems. I don't care what we solve today, there's gonna be
Yeah.
1,000 more problems tomorrow. So
Absolutely. Absolutely.
learn something new to solve those problems.
It's a creative way. I've been telling, there's one of the great example I've been sharing is, before email, we used to write each other the letters, right? And once the email came, Same fear happened. Okay, postal office, everybody's job is going to be going. Nobody's going to be now using the letters, and what will happen to that industry? But what has pivoted is they focus a lot into transportation and doing the logistic and supply chain. So now you have a shipment in 2 days and at 3 days. So rather than focusing to deliver letters, they focus delivering the goods and supplements, and that has helped to open up a new business channel. So you have one door was closed. They use the technology to make it a better advancement into a new business product, a new launch, and that has been now going on. And see the circle of life that now, if somebody gets an handwritten notes, it's so special and meaningful to you. I was talking with one of the colleague. He said, "I got a promotion and I got a letter from my leaders, and I can see that letter was handwritten. I feel like
Amazing.
so special that leader has taken that much time to give me a handwritten mail, and that's helpful." So that's going to happen. You have to learn when there is technology overflowing how I can leverage my human element to make this special.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Now, how can the readers like if they want to get in touch with you, how can they get in touch with you?
Sure, as you know, I'm very passionate about this. So everybody can reach out to me on LinkedIn. I would love to have a conversation. What was relevant for you, or you have something, a different mindset or a different perspective, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn. My handle is Rupali Kumbani, which is my first name, last name, and you can easily find me there.
Great. And then like we'll have it spelled out too. It's spelled out on there too. Thank you so much. I really appreciate all the insight you've shared today. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hey, it's Dean Guida here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the AI Data Driven Leadership Podcast, where we showcase the visionaries who are shaping the future with data and AI. If you're a successful leader, entrepreneur, or business professional and want to share your story on this program, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us at podcast.slingshotapp.io to apply. Got something value out of this interview? Share the love. Take a quick screenshot, post it to your favorite social platform, or text it to a friend. Don't forget to tag the show and use the hashtag AI Data Driven Leadership. I love seeing your posts and suggestions for future guests. And if you know someone who would make a great guest, let them know about the show. We're dropping new episodes regularly, so don't miss out. Hit subscribe wherever you listen, and if you enjoyed this episode, a quick thumbs up, rating, or review would mean the world to me and my team. Want to stay connected? Visit our website at podcast.slingshotapp.io or find me on LinkedIn at Dean Guida and Instagram at DeanGuida89. Thanks again for listening to the AI Data Driven Leadership Podcast. We'll see you next time.